Minasan, konbanwa. Did I say that correctly? Good evening? Okay, good. Hello, everyone. I'm Gavin, and welcome back to the Kanpai Sagaya podcast. Let me tell you guys, I am so glad to have this person on today, you know, for a lot of reasons. One good reason, and I just found this out, he doesn't drink alcohol, which the last few ones, if you guys watched, I mean, we got pretty wasted, all right? I don't know if I can do that all the time, I'm sorry, but I'm really glad that you defer to water, which is great. Because my wife bought some alcohol, I'm going to drink this Kona fruit punch seltzer. I don't know what that's going to do to my system with other foods, but we'll figure that out later. But this person that I'm bringing on today, we have a lot to cover. Actually, there's one thing I want to cover before we even get into other things. But this person is a storyteller, wedding planner. He has his own podcast called From Barbecue to Movies. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, you got that correct.
Okay. And also a football fan. You know, football fan. We're going to talk about football too, because there's a lot of stuff with COVID and football, especially with the players. I know that there's like 90 players on the COVID list right now. So we'll talk about that, because you talk about COVID and politics as well on your podcast a lot. But we have a lot to cover. Guys, I want you to give a round of applause for Mr. Stephen Young. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, Steve Young. Well, I go by Steve Young or Stephen Young, okay. whatever you want.
How do you pronounce the last name? Because on one of your episodes, you were talking about how you pronounce the Young, but it's not really, I guess there's another way.
So according to my grandmother, the Chinese version of my name is Yung.
Yung.
Yung, or something like that. Okay. Like, I'm fourth, fifth generation, you know, Chinese, so I can just consider myself American. Right. So I've been pronouncing my own name wrong for, like, my entire life, so... Mm. I still call myself Young, and okay. I always get mistaken on my podcast for a white guy because I sound like a white guy.
Really?
Yeah, I get hate mail being accused of being a white racist all the time on my
really?
Podcast. Oh, yeah, because I don't do the video podcast like you, so all they can do is hear my voice.
Well, now you can tell them, hey, you want to know what I really look like? This is what I really look like.
Defer
than the ear.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so what's really interesting is, so my friend... she's married to a guy, dating a guy.
Okay.
Not married. And then his last name is Dong, D-O-N-G, like ding dong.
Ding dong.
So okay. Yeah, so that's how you say it, like Dong. Okay. Like, he's Mr. Dong. And what happened is that during immigration, when they immigrated from Vietnam to here, I guess the person at the immigration center, like they heard Young, but for some reason they wrote Dong on top of the papers. So he became Dong this whole time.
Interesting.
And then he showed me his tattoo of his last name, and it was actually the same as my last name. So he has his last name tattooed on his arm, and it's actually Young.
Really?
And he actually said, yeah, it's actually Young. He was telling me, I have no idea how it got to be Dong. So, you know. So I turned out to be Young, and I got the better deal, I think, than Dong. I would never want. Yeah. Man, he must have been teased in school so bad.
Ding Dong over there.
It doesn't help that his first name is Chi.
I'm sorry to all those who have the last name Dong.
We have to be politically correct here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, but it's Vietnamese Chinese, so he's a Chinese guy, come from Vietnam.
Okay.
Last name is Dong. He's maybe related to my family somehow, because his last name is actually Young. So, but the English version turned into Dong because the person at the immigration center was being a butthead, or I don't know, so it's kind of weird.
It's very interesting. Actually, that reminds me of, so there's another Sugai family. They're in Kaneohe, kind of like Kahulu side. None of my family know them, but I know them because I met them like when we were community college and stuff like that. So there's a Sugai family, there's others floating around somewhere. Shout outs to the Sugai family. Not just mine, but the others around the world. Apparently, there's a Filipino Sugai family, too.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Wow.
But it's weird because I'm half Filipino, half Japanese. So I guess that works for me.
So what type of Filipino are you?
Ilocano, I think.
Ilocano?
Yeah.
So a little Spanish there.
Yeah,
there
a little
too.
Spanish. Yeah.
It's a little white blood. Or yeah. or Spanish white blood. I don't know. Is Spanish considered white? A little bit, right?
A little lighter skin.
Lighter skin. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when I owned a company before we had a lot of models, a lot of Filipino models there.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful models.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they were all either Visayan or Ilocano.
Okay.
Yeah. They're very heavy Spanish blood. So they had a very hybrid nose. Mm-hmm. And cheekbones and everything like that. And very easy to photograph, but it was like, wow, you know, like, yeah, but that's the only two type I found, Ilocano or Visayan. I never met any other type.
There's Los Nortes.
Yeah.
That's another, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it right now. There's another one.
They'd always make fun. They say they're part Igorot or something like that. Oh. And that's the one with the tail.
Okay. Okay. I have a story before we get into the one thing I wanted to get into. My mom did that at her workplace, and they scolded her for it.
Oh, saying
she said part, that,
yeah,
because she's like, "Oh, you know me, I don't want to say it because you know, I'm, for all the Ilocanos out there, I'm not gonna say it." But yes, the ones with the tail.
Yeah.
My mom said that. She's like, "Oh yeah, that's me," and they go, "Don't ever say that again. Ever say that." And I guess it's like a taboo kind of thing.
Yeah, like the models were like, they would always call themselves that all the time. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I said,
it's really
what? I said, what is that? I said, oh, yeah, it's a little like Manny Hune with a little tail. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. What's wrong with that?
It's very strange. Yeah. Anyway, so before I wanted to get into, you know, the NFL, even talking about wedding planning and your experience with that. I want to talk about this very interesting story about Star Wars, because it has to deal with my wife. It has to deal with me. It has to deal with you as well.
Okay.
Right? What happened to this lost footage?
Oh, God.
That because we met on it was basically a fun little short film.
Yeah.
I'll let you kind of explain more of the story, but it was a fun short film with our mutual friend Keone Maimori.
Yeah.
And we wanted to shoot something where my wife was the Jedi.
Yes.
You created more of the story. Keone wanted to just... He didn't really have a plan, but we're just like, we're just going to shoot something. But you had a lot of the story. A lot of us, we all play different parts. We filmed it. We don't know where it's at. So what's your take on it? Where do you think the footage went to?
I think it's still on. So okay, so here's the whole story of what happened.
Okay.
So Keone gives, you know, Keone messages me and he says he needs some help because he's doing a shoot. Right?
Okay.
And I said, what are we shooting? He says, oh, I got some friends over there and, you know, we're just going to go shoot somewhere. So what are we shooting? I said, he goes, I don't know. We're just going to help them out. So what are we doing? He says, I don't know.
Okay.
It's Keone, right? Like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess your people will meet Keone on the podcast before this one, so they don't know exactly what we're talking
about.
He's
on the second episode. Well, actually, his episode released.
Yeah, so they'll know. They can go back to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way Keone works. He's like very much free flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had just met another guy previously who wanted to get into the wedding industry.
Okay.
And so I said, okay, fine. So my background is, again, you know, my background is as of one of a screenwriter who you know, worked in the movie industry and entertainment industry and then, you know, found his way into the wedding industry because I just wanted to, you know, get out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I meet this one guy, and he comes through a referral through a mutual friend of Keone and mine's and all that.
Oh,
and he's a really cool guy. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah,
okay. So... really cool guy.
Until he returns the footage.
Yeah, so he comes there, and he has this, like, really expensive camera. We're like, whoa. I'm like, what kind of camera is this and all that, right? It's super expensive. Mm-hmm. And Keone, I mean, it's even blowing the socks off of Keone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can shoot, like, 8K or, like, 10K. Or it's, like, crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so we say, okay, fine. So, like, Keone, we go to the shoot, and he forgets his camera.
Okay.
Luckily, this other guy has his camera.
Yeah.
And so we get to the shoot and say, okay, fine. And his camera hooks up to Keone's equipment, just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do the whole cinematography thing. And he's never really shot anything before as of this caliber. And this is, they're just like fooling around, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, you know, with Keone's experience as a real cinematographer, my experience as a writer, and then we had really nothing. So we go over there, your wife is there, and then she's all dressed up. And I asked Keone, pull him to the side, and said, what are we doing, you know? I'm like, where? And he goes, I don't just make something up. I'm like, me now? Like that? Yeah, you just direct something. I'm like, what? Me? Like that? I was supposed to be the muscle to help pull all the equipment into the forest, right? That's what ended up being that person.
I ended up being the muscle, which the is muscle. Fine. Yeah,
I mean, you carried like that equipment like through these really big forest areas, and it was a long,
very narrow paths too.
Yeah,
big forest, narrow paths.
So anyway, we end up shooting it. I think we end up creating a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
And this guy ends up, you know, doing a nice rough cut of edit, but didn't come out to like how I wanted it to be. And I said, okay, we'll go ahead and meet. Well, I'll teach you how to finish up the editing, and we'll get like. And I kept asking him for the, give me at least a 1080 cut so I can show you exactly how I want it to cut to be put together, and never got it. And then all of a sudden, he dropped off the face of the planet. and then I think though, he's going through some major depression problems right now.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I think Keone got a hold of him and got a very weird, like, you know, weird text message about him. He sounds so, like, happy-go-lucky that, you know, that day we met him and all that. And that was maybe the third or fourth day I actually met him.
Really?
Yeah. So, but he was so cool. Even the days before, I mean, he was like, you would never expect someone, you know, to go through that type of situation. And I think something major happened in his family life or something like that. And he's just really, like, he's really torn apart right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so as soon as he gets his life back onto, like, you know, solid ground, then I think we'll see the footage then.
Okay.
Until then, it's a mystery to me, man.
It is the lost footage. We might just title this episode, you know, The Lost Footage.
But you know what? We should just reshoot it.
We could reshoot it.
Like,
we have good cameras here too.
Yeah, yeah. You guys have good cameras. I mean, your cameras are really good. I mean, I see them. They're really good. But his camera is like amazing.
His camera was.
He spent way too much money on that camera. I mean, he said, "What do you have this camera for?" And he said, "I want to shoot movies on it." It's like,
honestly, with that kind of camera, you could shoot movies.
You can shoot a movie with an iPhone now.
You could.
Yeah.
There are movies out there that have shot with just a smartphone.
You can shoot movies with anything. I shoot weddings with a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the video of it. I mean, they're that good.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, just to for example. Okay. So I ran when I first got back from I'm from here, but I went to California, and then I came back here, and then I got contacted to shoot. A Heineken commercial.
Okay.
So they said, hey, we need some B-roll footage and all that, right?
Okay.
And back then, everybody was shooting on film. So this is when Star Wars, The Phantom Menace came out.
Okay.
So I asked, hey, can we, just rent out those Panavision cameras they use for Star Wars? It's called a FDW Sony F900 or something like that, right? So the body alone is about $300,000, and the lens is a huge thing. Like, it's as big as your table here, and it's about, like, I think that's about like $500,000. And you connect it together, it's like $1 million, right? And they told me, yeah, no problem. So we shot on this camera, beautiful footage, put on a dolly, just pushed it back and forth with a Heineken beer. And that camera was 720p. 720p.
Wow, imagine at that time.
At that time.
Oh, that's crazy.
Your cell phone, your junk iPhone can outshoot that camera.
Mm.
And that camera cost $1 million. Yeah. And that's what they shot The Phantom Menace on. So just imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine now. Because, like, even back then, because I used to be an audiovisual technician.
Yeah.
And learning about cameras back then, I mean, they had cases for just maybe the lens, just the body, and then had to have at least two or three people to manage one camera.
Yeah.
Which was pretty bonkers to me, because you look at the DSLRs today, I mean, they're so compact, easy to...
They can do follow focus on your own and everything, you know.
It's amazing. I mean, these cameras, specifically, the stabilization inside, they're so good. These Sony 6600s, I mean, they're amazing cameras.
Yeah,
I mean, thinking about it back then, to get 720 like that, they had to have these huge suck-in cameras or these huge pieces just to put like one camera together. You know?
And I think some of them, I think that Panavision lens, there's still some like enthusiasts who are like professional cinematographers mm-hmm. who still love to attach them to like red cameras and all those different things.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's funny, you see like a little red kid, the body's like only this big now or something like that. Yeah. Like a little cube.
Yeah.
And the lens is like, it's a huge thing. And all that. And they're like, what? You know, and it's going to get even smaller, right? Because all you have to do is have a CCD in there, you know, like that, right? So it's going to get really crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, technology goes like this.
All right.
And now you can shoot on an iPhone 13. Is it 13 Max or something? 13 something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, because, man. And so I have a Google Pixel 6.
Yeah. Oh, right? Those are really
amazing. You know, the one feature I like about it is this night sight mode. Where I guess it formats the picture to have more light inside. So I mean you could shoot a movie in complete darkness and maybe just like one bulb, you know, just to shine over people, but it comes out really clean.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that those red cinema cameras, they suck at night.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can kind of tell I didn't know that. Like I thought it was my Netflix internet, you know, I guess stream like going bad and all that. I said, why is it real blocky and everything? And then Keone showed me a picture like that he actually worked on, and they used the red cameras. And he goes, no, that's the red cameras. They're horrible. You need to like light that thing up.
Oh,
and I said, really? And he said, yeah, you can shoot better footage with your cell phone. So that was pretty interesting. I mean, I've never shot on a red before. Like, I come from the film days, so we actually have the film canisters, and you know, you're actually shooting blind. So even when I did weddings back then, we're shooting on film. So you know, when you shoot on film, you have to know how to use the light meter, understand like lighting very, very well, because everything's an educated guess for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And you think in, you know, terms of like, I think in the movies it's T-stop, regular photography it's F-stops.
F-stops, yeah.
So yeah, T-stops, I don't know why they use F-stops. T-stops are way better. Yeah.
So let's switch gears a little bit because we talked about we talked briefly about weddings because that's what you primarily do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to call yourself a storyteller, what came first? You calling yourself a storyteller, or you go through wedding planning, writing, all these different things, then you discover yourself being a storyteller?
No, I was always a storyteller from day one.
Okay.
Yeah. So number one is that everything I do, well, first of all, before I went into wedding planning, I was a screenwriter. So I learned the art of storytelling.
Mm.
And I think everybody should learn the art of storytelling because that's the base of everything.
Right.
If you want to be a used car salesman, you got to be a good storyteller. You want to sell religion.
It's true.
Be a good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how I operate with myself. So everything I do branches off from all the skills that I learned as a screenwriter.
Mm.
So I told people just because I stopped writing, you know, scripts, and I still write scripts. Like I was slated to write a movie about Lamborghini. I can say that now, but the producer died.
Oh,
so that was during COVID. We were actually like talking about that, and unfortunately, the producer died on that one.
Oh.
So we're not sure if that's going to go through or not yet. Mm. That's kind of tough, you know.
Yeah.
But even then, like, and I'm still writing my own things, my own like little fun things on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But my storytelling has never, you know, it's never wavered. So when I do weddings, you know, how I talk to couples and everything I do, it all revolves around story, including, and especially for weddings, because when you tell a story, you fictionalize it. I mean, even what we're doing it right now, this is not 100% honest, right? We're showing like the audience 99%, 95% of what actually is going on. You know, your wife is back there switching the cameras on there. You know,
they don't know what kind of setting is outside here.
They don't know and everything, right? And we're kind of censoring ourselves, not telling ourselves exactly. You know, I'll tell you things off camera, like, oh, you know that guy's name and all that.
True,
yeah, right?
True.
We want to keep things, you know, there.
Yeah.
And same thing with works. So there's like you fictionalize it somewhat. You know, you kind of push that line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you come to the art of story. You want to push that line without telling the full truth, you know, because if you tell the full truth, sometimes there's like, damage can be done to people's reputation. Sometimes people get offended.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just don't want to be rude to people, you know, like that. And for weddings, you know, like people ask me, a bride will ask me, well, how do I look today? I'm not going to tell them, well, you could lose an extra 5-10 pounds like that. Right? That's just going through my head, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm, you know, post-production's going to be a bitch, you know, because I got to pinch this photo a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not going to say that to their face. I'm going to tell them a lie. And then, like, when you, when we work on the photos or the video, mm-hmm. we're only going to show the good aspects of them. They're good angles. Mm-hmm. You know, they're, you know, color correct the sky, make it a little more blue, the grass, palm trees a little more green,
right.
fix up the
brighten
hair.
Brighten it a little bit. You know?
Brighten it up a little bit, yeah. add a little more yellow because she doesn't want, she feels she's a little bit too white.
Right.
So you know, she wants a nice tan, and we add a little orange in there. So we fictionalize it a little more, but you push it right to that edge where people feel that, okay, this is real. If you push it over that edge and people think it's fake, then you failed as a storyteller.
Mm.
Because, you know, once the art of storytelling is supposed to go unnoticed.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
People aren't supposed to know that you're, you know, BSing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people don't know. They'll ask me, do you use a flash for your photos? I say, yeah, all the time. They can't tell.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you touch up your photos? Like, yeah, all the time. They don't know.
In a way, it's not really fabricated in a way. It's more just getting the best parts of certain things.
Yeah. You know? We're not saying completely fabricated from like a green screen.
Yeah.
That's but you could. You actually could.
Has that ever happened?
For my weddings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, not on purpose.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, down here by, this is a local crowd. Local crowd here speaking. So down
this goes California.
California. Okay, so we know where Kinwa is, right?
Yeah.
So we did a wedding down over at Kulo Ranch. It stormed.
Okay.
So the reception is at Kinwa.
Okay.
So the bride and groom go outside Kinwa and says, take a picture over here, right?
Mm.
So I basically cut them out perfectly from Kinwa. And then put Kulo Ranch, the Chinaman's hat over there, right behind of it, blur it a little so have the shallow depth of field. Yeah, they couldn't tell what it was.
Interesting.
Yeah, they couldn't tell.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's the closest you can get to green screen, and that's on the side of their wall right now. So.
Well, that's also interesting that the reception was at Kinwa, for one thing.
Oh, it's horrible. The food. Oh shoot! Can't see that.
Well, they're not sponsoring us, so I don't know. I don't know what I can say. Well, you know, I haven't gone to Kinwa in a long time. They're a Chinese restaurant for people that are listening or haven't gone to Hawaii. But yeah, they're a Chinese restaurant. I like a few things from there. I haven't gone there recently just because, you know.
You want good food.
There's other options out there. But yeah, this isn't a burying Kinwa episode.
Are we going to cut that out? Okay.
No, we can keep it in.
Okay. All right.
So with weddings, right? On your podcast, you talk about a lot of interesting situations for weddings. You talk about tips for weddings. Talk about maybe your most interesting experiences with that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you had like a really, like a bridezilla or something.
Oh, the bridezillas happen every
maybe
now and
then. Maybe groomzilla, you know? Maybe there's a groomzilla out there.
Sometimes. But the bridezillas are more frequent. Well, I would say about 99.9% of all my couples are like really cool, and then I try to weed them out, and I can kind of tell which ones are like really bad and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you one story. So this one couple, they were coming from Australia.
Okay.
I forgot their name, so that's really good right now. So I can't out them out. And you know, they wanted. I guess when I met her, I knew for a fact that I was like kind of in trouble, because I told all of my brides, well, don't wear, you know, stiletto-type heels at the beach because you're going to sink. It's kind of obvious, right? So then I say, okay, you know, like, and then I get out there, I see her, she's wearing stilettos.
Okay.
And she tells me, well, Steve, like, I tell her, well, you know, you're actually going to, like, sink in the sand. She goes, well, I'm not going to sink in the sand. I said, no, you are. And she goes, well, ask my husband, ask him if he brought wood with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, no, I picked him up from the hotel. Mm-hmm. There's no wood. You know, that he brought with him. I just picked him up from the hotel.
Oh.
I just asked him. I said, all right, I'll ask him. Yeah, so I go there. Your bride wants to know if you brought some wood. And he goes, what? Why would I bring wood? She goes, well, you work in construction. He goes, yeah, but that's back in Australia, right? You know, he has wood back in his truck, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I said, oh, boy. Okay, so I go back. And then I said, he didn't bring any wood. She goes, well, I'm not sinking in the sand. And if I do, it's all your fault. So well, they go, okay, frick. Okay, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
So she starts walking down the aisle, right? Mm-hmm. And she starts sinking in the sand.
Oh, God.
And she's pissed. Oh, man, she's pissed. She's looking at me. Give me the... Like that, biting her lip, you know, snorting.
Yeah.
Like, we're catching up all of us on camera in high definition, right?
Yeah. Right. We'll zoom in on you snorting a little bit.
And so then she gets up to the aisle, right? And they're going through the whole vows and everything. And every time she sees me going around photographing her, she stares at me, follows me, and goes.
Like, oh man!
Oh crap! And all that, right? And we're catching this all on video, and she's really pissed, and she is so mad at me. Because she was sinking in the sand, that she can't focus on her wedding vows.
Oh.
Okay, this is not how it gets. Now I know for a fact things are going to get bad. This is not the worst part about it, okay? Mm-hmm. So prior to this entire thing, she had contacted me and told me that she wanted this very hard picture to take, which was like she wanted a picture of her and her husband, in the front with the sun setting into the ocean in the background. That's really hard to do because, first of all, you have to have a clear horizon.
Yeah.
And that rarely happens here in Hawaii. That's usually a cloudy horizon.
Yeah.
And so the sun will set into the clouds, not into the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. So I told her that. And she goes, no, I want that shot. You know, I'm like, all right. So I brought her to this one location over on the North Shore where it was clear, where the sun would set right there.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to have the wedding at that location because it would require her to park across the street and then walk across Cam Highway, I guess, to the beach. She said it wasn't becoming of a bride to walk across a highway, you know, to go to the wedding location.
Okay.
So she decided to get married at Turtle Bay. Now, at Turtle Bay, the sun sets behind the clouds and all the things and all the forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're at this beach right in front of their condo, and I had told them, if you book this location, the sun is actually going to set behind the condo. I told her that. I was very adamant about this. She says, no, it's not. She told me, no, it's not. I'll make sure it won't. I'm like, no, it's going to. How will you not?
Is she going to move the sun?
So this is the funny part, okay? So the sun starts setting, and she says, Steve, the sun is setting behind the houses. Move the sun. I'm like, what? She says, move the sun. And she was doing her hands like that.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Move the sun, right?
Okay.
And she tells me, like, Steve, you're a professional wedding planner. You're supposed to handle things like this, like moving the sun. I'm like, what am I? Like, Thor can't even move the sun, right? And then she charged at me with her bouquet, and her husband is like holding her back, and she's like, ah! I'm like, oh my God, she's serious and all that, right? But then finally she calmed down. The husband took me to the side and she said, you know, I skydive. I like to skydive, Steve. And I said, you know, sometimes I wish the parachute doesn't open. And I'm like, oh man, and all that, right? So he is marrying, you know, a girl who was just very difficult, and she was not pretty. She's not a pretty girl. So usually if you're pretty, you can kind of...
Okay.
I understand, okay? You can give the pretty girl a little bias. Like, oh, she's drop-dead gorgeous, has an excellent body. A supermodel, right? Oh, yeah, she can be a bitch and all that, right?
Okay.
You understand all that, right? No. She was... like, scale from 1 to 10, she's maybe a 2 or 3.
Oh, God.
So on top of that, she's 2 or 3, and she's a personality of a 1.
Okay.
So, wait, and this guy is a good-looking guy. I'm thinking, all right, whatever. So the pictures come out good. The video she complains about because she looks like she's being bitchy, which she is, like that and all that. She asked for a refund. And I said, no. And you're like, not my fault. She said, she always looks angry in the video.
Yeah, it's not your fault you can't move the sun.
You're being angry, you know? You know, and she, you know, she tried to write a review on Yelp about me like that, and then that review was so, like, people just laughed at it. It was a 1-star review, and then, like, she ended up taking it down because people started commenting on it like that. It's
like, did she put in her review that she
wanted to move, she would put in there, she wanted to move the sun.
Okay.
Kind of, like, Steve failed to actually move the sun. People thought it was fake. I think, I did report it to Yelp, because it's a 1-star, it still affects your rating, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they moved it to, like, this one portion of Yelp where it doesn't affect your rating, and then it just disappeared. So that's one of the crazy ones.
Interesting.
Yeah,
she told you to move the sun.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
interesting. So with relationships, let's talk about this a little bit, because the guy was marrying this girl, he good looking guy, like you were saying,
yeah,
marrying somebody who maybe not really so good on the inside or the outside.
No,
does that skew maybe your idea of maybe like relationships, like how people get into relationships, how they stick it out? Or you've probably met some couples where maybe they're marry, you know, they're divorced and then they marry someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I can kind of tell, which, like, you know, kind of by reading people. I'm really good at reading people, and this comes from being a professional storyteller. So as a professional storyteller, you kind of become a compulsive, like, people watcher. And on top of that, you just study.
Analyzer.
Yeah, study personality is almost like a really bad itch. Like, you know, like just, and it's really bad because you start analyzing yourself, analyzing your friends, family, everything, and, you know, learning different types of techniques out there from all different like psychology things. And I mean, I used to when I was a screenwriter, I carried around a DSM, what they call, what they have all of the different psychological disorders in there, and I would look at it for my characters, and then I study like things like the Enneagram. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but it's a personality type of thing, and yeah, we study. I mean, I still practice that to this very day. So now when I take a look at wedding couples and all that, like, I kind of know how to talk to them. I can kind of tell where they're. You know,
what type of person they are,
and if they're type
A or a healthy version or an unhealthy version
of themselves. And you know, there's some of them out there, like, you know, or that are like, I know for a fact that their marriages will not last. Yeah, so better to collect the money before, you know, on the day of the wedding. You know, like, no, I'm serious about that. Yeah. I've had some couples, like, by the time I got their photos to them, they're broken up.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it doesn't take to them too long to get the photos sometimes. So 2 weeks, they're gone, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, I had a groom who actually, like, he ended up cheating on his wife, no, his girlfriend, no, fiancé,
okay.
The day before that he was supposed to get married. So he actually called me up, and we're supposed to do the wedding. I'm driving down to the location. He says, "Steve, the wedding's off." And he said, "But I'm still hoping we can, like, get together, like that, right?"
Okay.
And I become friends with my couple, right, all that. Yeah. So we get together, and he tells me, "I don't know what's wrong." And I go, "What? Okay. Like, why did you, like, break up? Like, why did he go? Oh, well, I cheated on her the night before." I'm like, "Well, that's a pretty good reason. You're right. You cheated on her like that. I mean, he actually slept with a different girl like that. Like, you know,
man.
Like, you know, I mean, you don't expect
the night before.
He's like." What?
What the heck?
Yeah.
These people are crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. But that is a type of personality. There's a personality type that tends more to do more, like, to do that more than others. Yeah.
That's really weird. Yeah. I mean, he comes to you saying, "Okay, I don't know what's wrong with me."
Yeah.
Even though I slept with someone else the night before our wedding, I don't know what's wrong with me, Steve.
Yeah. Well, you know. You know, I don't know, maybe they were swingers, maybe they do that often, maybe, you know, he had done it before, he got, you know.
If he'd done it before,
he thought it'd be okay like that, you know, so it's kind of weird, you know.
In a way, it's kind of sad, too, because, like, you've probably met some really successful couples.
A lot of them.
That are like, they're going to be married for forever,
you know
what I mean? But then, that must be discouraging, you meeting some couples where they're... You can already see the tension because if they're going through a wedding process, which I tell people when they're getting married, it's like you shouldn't stress the day of the wedding because the marriage part, the years after, you know, that's part of the whole.
That's the hard part.
That's the harder part.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's the part that should be invested in rather than just this wedding. And if you're stressed out and if it doesn't go as well, and that's just going to. It's just gonna. What do you call it? It's gonna carry into the marriage. You know what I mean?
You're right. But it's very different. So for as us men, right? You ask, okay, how long have you been planning your wedding for? And you'll say, since a couple months ago, since like last year. You ask a woman that. The majority of the time, they'll say, "I've been planning this my entire life."
Yeah.
So now it's two different types of forms of I guess backstories you're talking about there coming to a convergence on that day.
Yeah.
Right? So you think that's why the bride is usually, bridezilla, and the groom's like, "Hey, what's on TV?" You like that, right? Yeah. I have a funny picture that I have where I just recently shot like a bride and groom getting ready shots. In the groom's place, they're watching television.
Okay.
Watching football. And the bride's side, they're all like, getting ready, the hair and all that, and it's a lot more hectic for the women than the men, like that. And the men are just like, whatever,
Yeah. Our wedding, Kelsey and I's wedding, we actually we got pretty blessed with everything, with like DJ, photographers, a bunch of them were our friends.
Oh.
You know what I mean? That just so happened to do certain different things. You know, someone was studying photography. He was our photographer. He was a coworker of mine. There was another guy who was studying in being a DJ, and he was DJing our wedding. My mom's workplace gave us a big discount, so we got married at Oh my gosh, what is that called? I'm thinking Colau, but it's not Colau.
Colau Ballrooms?
No. It's not Colau Ballrooms.
Guys both forgot.
How is this?
Wait, how long have you guys been married for?
5 years. You know?
Yeah. It took 500 years.
It wasn't. Oh, Mid-Pac Country Club. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I was thinking Lanikai, but I was like, what is that place in Lanikai called? But yeah, Mid-Pac Country Club.
Okay.
My mom works there. We actually got a big discount. We only had to pay for the food, which was amazing. We didn't even have to pay for my dad was the one that did the ceremony. Yeah. I had a friend I met when I used to do sound at Winter Community College. He played music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything worked out. We had friends and families that just helped out with the reception and everything. So ours, honestly, came out really well, you know.
And you saved a lot of money.
We saved a ton of money. Yeah. We just spent it in our honeymoon and then just even, you know, just living and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think with couples, when they plan out weddings, they should think about what's going to happen after the wedding anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think they should spend so much money and then they end up in ruin. Like, oh, what are we going to do next? You know.
You know, you're preaching to the choir here. And it's kind of... I'm kind of strange because I'm a wedding planner telling couples to save money. Mm. And it's kind of like with our company, we do everything like photo, video, minister, limo. I mean, the whole thing. People come to us. The majority of our clients are destination brides. And we're telling them, hey, you know what? Keep it small. If you want to, like, you know, enjoy life after, keep it small. Mm-hmm. We had like couples like, you know, who are going to spend like $200,000 on their wedding.
Jeez.
They come to us, they spend a couple thousand dollars, and I say, hey, save the $98,000, go buy yourself a nice car or something like that. Mm-hmm. At least you're not spending $98,000 in 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you buy a Tesla in cash.
Yeah.
It's going to last you like about 5-10 years, you know?
Or invest in a house. You know,
or invest into a house.
Down payment on a house.
Shoot, put in a good stock. You know, yeah, like that,
exactly.
Right? You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying, you know, like that. But then, you know, to invest it into a party, like I'm like, it's actually more money than some movies cost.
Mm.
Like, I mean, some brides will spend $200,000 on a wedding. And they're only, and then you, it's not one day. It's actually for that party where all that money's being spent is maybe about 5 hours or 6 hours.
Right, yeah.
So that's like a production of like a movie, like, you know, like a big budget movie. Like,
yeah.
And they have actors, you know, I mean, it looks like a movie because it is a movie.
Right.
I mean, they've turned their wedding into a movie set.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It's like, are you nuts? You know? You know?
Just for a few hours, too.
Yeah,
just for a few hours.
I mean, there's even union people on top of some of these things.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like horrible. They'll hire union people.
That's terrible, man. Shoot. Okay, that's a tip for people that are getting married. You know what? I'd say spend on forever with your spouse versus spending everything on the wedding. Just learn the budget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about your podcast because something I definitely listen to a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I listen to a lot of episodes, actually, recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I was going to appear on there, right?
Well, honestly, when you first told me about it, I listened to it.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Because, and I listened to some of your old episodes, so, you know, I know, like, you like football, right?
Okay, yeah.
You definitely talk about politics, a lot about politics.
Yeah, for a podcast that's called Barbecue 2 Movies... Right? Like, it's actually, like, you know, like, mostly about so little. This much about barbecue and this much about movies.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And you talk a lot about COVID. So I actually kind of want to talk about the sports. So, you know, you like football.
Yeah.
I'm actually wearing 84. This is Antonio Brown's. This is a very, very controversial jersey right here because Antonio Brown left on very bad terms with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
But this guy had a fake vaccine card.
Yeah.
So What is your take on the whole in NFL? You know, the whole fake vaccine or even the whole COVID protocols with what they're doing?
Well, I think first of all, we have to admit that these vaccines are experimental vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, you know, they haven't been tested fully. Like, we are actually living, you know, through the tests right now.
Yep.
Like, myself, I am double vaxxed mm-hmm. and all that, right? But then, you know, like, I don't think anybody should be forced to be vaccinated, mm-hmm. you know, that. And I probably won't take the booster because I think it's completely useless.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding out that the vaccine that I have taken, mm-hmm. it's turning out to be almost completely useless and all that, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I can still get infected mm-hmm. and I can still infect others and all that. You know, the bunch of, you know, crap that they actually fed us is all a bunch of baloney. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, I kind of have pie on my face before because I was kind of saying these do look to be kind of effective, but then, you know, they were effective against certain strains of COVID, but now we're way far away from Alpha.
Right.
We're past Delta. Now we're into Omicron.
Now we're into Transformers.
Yeah,
you know what
Omicron.
I mean?
Yeah, right. This is the Omicron.
We're gonna get Megatron next.
Yeah, Megatron.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right there. Yeah. So, yeah. So now we need Optimus Prime, right?
Yeah.
Right. But then to have someone say, you know, the government say, you know, or even a business to say that you have to take this, and if you don't take this, you can't work here.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, now you have no control over your own body and what goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they can, you know, say if they can force you to do this, what else can they do? Because you're giving them just this little bit here about
mm-hmm.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
What else can they tell you that you have to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's horrible,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of other things that we do to abuse our body,
yeah.
right? Oh, I can't, you know. You know, I can't drink, I can't do this, I can't do this on my off time, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I didn't like. So I support Antonio Brown's like decision to actually, you know, to not get vaccinated because he already had COVID.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah, he already had COVID. Yeah.
So why should he be vaccinated for? So if we follow the science, mm-hmm. he's safer than anyone out there, like
mm-hmm.
myself and all that, of mm-hmm. those who are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So he just wants to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he just wants to work, and you know now you're forcing him to take a vaccine where the adverse effects may be actually very detrimental for a person who's already who has already been infected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they take the Johnson & Johnson, right now they're finding out that it does cause blood clots on other things. That's very a big. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous for women.
Heart problems
heart
for those that are younger.
Younger, yeah. And he mm-hmm. may check all the boxes there. I mean, you know. So what do you want to do? So he said, okay, well, I'm going to put my life in danger, maybe my career in danger by taking an experimental vaccine that I won't take and all that, that he won't take and all that. But if I get the fake vax card and all that, okay, it's just a little
yeah.
a little thing here,
yeah.
right? And his stupid chef outed him out.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
People were saying, oh, it's so bad, you're putting it, like, he broke a law, or he broke mm-hmm. a protocol. That's what
yeah.
he is, broke a protocol.
And he owned up to it, at least. You know what I mean? But honestly, those vaccine cards too are very. I mean, they're just like index cards. Honestly, you know
I can remake that easily. I can make a fake one in my sleep if I wanted to. Yeah, it's so poorly made.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's poorly made. The fact that you can't even laminate it, you know what I mean, and other things to make it more legitimate. You know,
yeah.
it's
put a QR code there, or like a watermark. Yeah. A watermark, a simple. I mean, I've seen baseball cards. Like, I have more authenticity
right, yeah.
than that, right?
Yeah.
It's like, really, you know?
So, I mean, if his chef didn't outed him out,
yeah.
he probably would have been able to get away with it.
Yeah.
And his other teammates,
yeah.
you know, that also got caught. With
yeah,
it.
Mike Evans, he got
yeah,
caught.
Yeah, Mike Evans.
But Mike Evans is playing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I don't...
He is, right? Is
I don't
playing?
Know if... did he play the last game?
I think he played. Wait,
this is
play?
December, by the way, for people that are watching this. But this
I'm
is
sure
released
he played.
In January. But
yeah, I don't think it's fair that he should be, you know, suspended.
Mm.
I like Antonio Brown. You know, I mean, what's worse? You're going to take away his career, and then he's going to get depressed, go on drugs, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think people have to watch how they penalize certain things. Like the whole Ray Rice. Remember Ray Rice?
Yeah, Ray Rice.
Ray Rice, he got, and all of a sudden, he beat the shit out of his
mm-hmm.
girlfriend or wife or something back
mm-hmm.
then.
Yep.
He owns up to it, and then they end up kicking him out of the NFL, and then he's poor now. His wife is poor. His kids are poor, everything like that. They have bills to pay. They're going
mm-hmm.
bankrupt. I'm like, you just made life even worse for them because she's still with him.
Mm.
If she can forgive him, why can't, you know, the NFL forgive him, you know? It's like, you know.
And even with Antonio Brown, you know, the thing about him was he had so many issues in the past, personality issues,
yeah.
people, you know. But the thing is, I mean, he's owned up to it. He's kind of done a full circle, or 180 turn, honestly. And he's came all the way back. Something like a fake vaccine card. Honestly, I mean, there's so many fake vaccine cards out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That to penalize him, I mean, just because he's a bigger star and everything, maybe they just don't like the Buccaneers. You know what I mean? Maybe they just want to penalize Tom Brady. That's how they want to penalize Tom Brady. But I felt like that was wrong too.
Yeah. Also, we're both on the same page with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even like, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, for instance.
Okay.
Right? So Aaron Rodgers, he tells the media that he was immunized.
Immunized, yeah.
Right? Which isn't a lie. It's very misleading. He only got fined $14,000, right? I think that's how much he got fined.
Oh, yeah.
But he only got fined $14,000. I guess the NFL knew his vaccination status.
Yeah.
So do you think he should have gotten fined for that?
Well, the NFL knew his vaccination status. Exactly. Then why was he getting fined for it?
Why did he get fined?
I don't understand that. Yeah, I don't understand that. And I really, now before this whole vaccine thing happened, I didn't like Aaron Rodgers at all. I thought he was a grade A asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, I really did. But then I started watching his interviews on Pat McAfee, and I kind of, I think I kind of like.
Hey, shout out to Pat McAfee.
Yeah, yeah, Pat McAfee. He does a really great show there. Yep. But I started watching his Aaron Rodgers Tuesdays, and I said, wait a minute, this guy isn't the asshole I thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see how he can be interpreted as an asshole because he's a critical thinker and he's very critical of other people.
Yeah, condescending.
He could come off as condescending because, you know, he thinks and a lot of times he does know better than other people out there.
Yeah.
But people don't like those kind of like I know that because I'm kind of the same type of personality. Like, you know, like people think I'm condescending and I don't know everything, but I'm not trying to be. But you know, it comes off that way.
Mm-hmm.
But so I could see it, you know. But then, you know, who cares? Like, I mean, he didn't. And then he got COVID.
Yeah, he got COVID. He got better. What, 3 days, 3 or 4 days?
Because of
after.
Joe Rogan's like little concoction.
Dr. Joe Rogan. You know what I mean?
And it worked.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so what the hell? I mean, really, I like it for a fact that he still doesn't wear a mask on the sideline. He's supposed to.
He's supposed to.
And at interviews, right? He's supposed to, and he doesn't.
And he hugs all. And you know, it's funny. Okay, so so I had a problem with him getting fined because he also goes and he hugs his teammates. His teammates already know that he's unvaccinated, right? So everybody knows the risk, right? The people that should know that he's unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And then he just told the media that he's just immunized, which, honestly, he didn't say he was non-vaccinated. He wasn't. Yeah. He didn't say he was vaccinated. So he didn't really lie. He just said he was immunized. It is misleading, but he shouldn't have gotten fined for it.
Yeah.
You know?
He's being a little cute with the verbiage there.
Right, yeah.
But then, you know, he also saw, like he said, how the unvaccinated were getting just chastised by the media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were going out there on a witch hunt.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, they're just, and they do that still yet. And people still do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are just paranoid of the unvaccinated.
Which is crazy because it's just a choice, honestly.
Yeah, it's really a choice.
It all boils down to a choice. Yeah. And I told this on Keone's podcast where I'm pro-choice with everything. Whether people are vaccinated or are unvaccinated, I don't really care. As long as, you know, we all respect each other and if someone chooses to get the vaccination, great. You know, if someone chooses not to be vaccinated, that's great too. Everybody is making their own choices, and I'd support that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But people shouldn't be judged for making something that's important to their body. I mean, like, taking a vaccination, that's changing the, you know, it's a test, honestly, because the vaccinations are not really, I mean, they say they're FDA approved, but are they really completely safe for people?
Well, think about this, there's FDA drugs out there, like the majority of them, they have a lot of side effects.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is watch a commercial, and the list of side effects is longer than the actual ad for the drug.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it may cause, like, you have depression drugs that cause side effect of suicide.
Yeah.
That's FDA approved.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that works, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, honestly, people should just be, I just support people that are just pro-choice.
Yeah.
Who, there shouldn't be such pressure to be vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the first place. And the fact that there's pressure means there's something behind the scenes, you know? In my eyes, there's something behind the scenes that's amiss and, you know, what's going on.
Well, definitely there's something behind the scenes because they're using COVID as a way to push different agendas out there, such as the way people vote. I mean, they're going to be pushing mail-in balloting like you wouldn't believe now just because, you know, the fear of COVID. And now, you know, Omicron comes on here like, oh, you know, that's great and everything like that, right? We can push this agenda more. I really didn't like what they did with COVID completely. Like my company, I suffered financially, you know, greatly. My wedding company was shut down completely, you know. And I hate it when people say, oh, Steve, we're in it all together. I say, wait a minute. If we're in it all together,
how come they have a job?
How come you have a job? And I don't have a job. They say, you're not essential. Well, give me support. Give me your paycheck. Then we're in it all together. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I got to keep my money, right? You're not in it all together, you know. Yeah, it's not too good.
Yeah, and then even news stations. I saw one. I watched some of the news, and then it said sponsored by Pfizer. Right after it went to a commercial break, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know what I mean?
Really? Wow.
And that wasn't the first time. There was multiple times I've seen that. It was just the news. It wasn't the same news station. But then after it said sponsored by Pfizer, and I was like, okay, something's different. Why is this happening? You know what I mean?
God,
we can talk about the news stations after. But
was that a local news?
No, it was. You know, like MSN. I'm not saying MSN was part of it. But yeah, you know, for people to say like, oh, we're all in it together. Honestly, yeah, some people are out of the job. So they're not all in it together, because like for myself, I was able to work from home and, you know, still have a job. But then for yourself, your business took a huge hit because the wedding industry, the tourism industry took a huge hit.
Yeah.
You know?
So that year of COVID, like I took a look at the books. We only made $500.
Oh.
$500. So like, then we had to refund a lot of money. So now we're living off of like savings the entire time. Then we're forced to take out loans, you know, to support this. And these are the government loans. But now we have debt, right? Mm. I mean, you know, before I'm operating without debt. Now we have debt, you know, because we're giving away like, you know, $20,000 worth of refunds and all that. And then on top of that, we have, you know, just every... with our stupid governor saying, hey, you know, we're going to open up, then we're going to shut down, open up, we're going to shut down. That makes, you know, brides very, very, you know, nervous because, hey, they don't want to book with us because they may, you know, next month they may shut us down again.
They don't even know if they're going to have a wedding.
Yeah.
To do. You're right.
Yeah. So it's kind of scary, you know, luckily, you know, I got back into the entertainment industry during COVID, but that still didn't really help out that much. I mean, my bread and butter is still the wedding industry. And we make a lot of money through that. Yeah. So look, now things are kind of getting back to normal, but you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, and then you were able to, you were able to still do photography. I mean, luckily, some of the things you could do social distancing, safe, whatever distancing. Yeah,
we don't do any of that crap, man. Screw that crap.
But I mean, you're able to do it if that was an option. You know what I mean?
Oh boy, my leg's falling asleep here.
Sorry.
I lost a little weight. The fat went out of my butt.
Oh, okay.
Even though my butt's still a little big, so it causes my leg to fall asleep when I go on it. So the COVID restrictions, why don't we talk about that for now? Okay. It's so stupid right now.
Yeah.
So if I'm to do a wedding on the beach, the bride and groom have to be wearing a mask. So does the minister.
Okay.
They have to social distance themselves from each other 6 feet. Everyone there has to be vaccinated, including the little kids, the little babies.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if the dog who's a ring bearer has to be vaccinated, you're right, but everyone there is required to be vaccinated.
So does that, so for like social distancing, so does that mean that the minister has to be six feet away from the bride and groom? Does the bride and groom have to be 6 feet apart?
Technically, when we look at the paper, they have to be 6 feet away from each other right? That's so stupid.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then when I talked to the person at the Department of Health, I said, how about the kiss? Do they have to wear a mask? And she told me, well, if they really care about each other, they'll wear a mask. And I told them, you know for a fact, later on that night, they won't be really social distancing themselves from each other that night, right?
Yeah.
And she told me, well, not if they care about each other. I said, no, if they care about each other, there'll be no distance between themselves, right? Yeah. So here's the thing. We're on the beach, right? Same people now. We're going to throw a barbecue on the beach. Mm. Put a few hot dogs on the grill. They don't have to be vaccinated. They don't have to social distance. They don't have to wear a mask. But the minute you have a minister there and the couple wants to marry each other, all of a sudden everybody needs to be vaccinated.
Huh.
So it doesn't make any sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, at one time, we could have only 10 people at an outdoor wedding.
Oh.
And then, but if the couple were dead and were attending their funeral, you could have 25.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just kind of weird, you know, like all of these restrictions and everything right now. But yeah, none of them make sense whatsoever.
Honestly, these so like hotels and stuff like that, I mean, if they wanted to do rapid testing, we have the resources now.
Yeah, with the Abbott machines and everything. Yeah,
right.
You could do it real quick.
Actually, we got tested recently.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of people come over and stuff like that. But what's interesting about these tests now, so I saw mine. I was negative. Kelsey's negative too. But then it also showed that I was asymptomatic, and she wasn't asymptomatic. So even with like weddings and stuff too, I mean, imagine the couple being asymptomatic. They, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they have to stand 6 feet apart. But I mean, honestly, they're probably living together or anything.
Yeah, they're living together. They flew here. They're in the same hotel room together. Yeah.
They probably sat on the same plane.
Yeah, you know. I'm sure they kissed each other a handful of times. They held hands in Hawaii.
Right.
Like, God forbid.
Stayed in the same hotel room. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But the fact that they have to stand 6 feet apart because, you know.
Yeah, during the wedding.
During the wedding.
Yeah. It's stupid.
That is dumb.
Yeah. This is the politicians for you. Like, I mean, they have no idea what the hell they're doing, and they're not following any science. You know,
so,
I can go on and on about this.
So with like, okay, now we have Omicron right now.
Yeah.
Going on. We've already went through the Alpha, Delta.
Yeah.
I don't know if COVID-19, the beginning one was Alpha.
It was Alpha.
It was Alpha?
Alpha,
okay.
Yeah. They never labeled them that way, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess technically, yeah, because it's the beginning. So we're going through Omicron. Recently, we've seen a spike in a lot of cases, but honestly, we haven't seen a lot of, you know, what I wish that the narrative was more was how many people are being hospitalized. So like over here, we show how many people are hospitalized. So we have maybe like 280 cases, but then we see people hospitalized for COVID, which honestly, that could be a lot of things because they could be hospitalized because maybe they got hit by a car and they had COVID.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then they're constituted as someone who's hospitalized with COVID.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Even though they just got hit by a car.
Exactly.
But if the narrative was like, okay, like even for today, there's like 39 cases of people in the hospitals with COVID, 10 10 with vaccinations, the others 29 without. I mean, 29 without vaccination. So, but then we say 280 got COVID.
Yeah.
So the narrative there is we have all these people that are, you know, getting positive, but honestly, how many of them are being able to survive COVID or get through it, right? Because Omicron, in my opinion, probably because we've already gone through Alpha, Delta, the string is maybe it's going to be highly contagious, but it's probably not going to be as serious as those other ones as before. So to the point where it's probably just going to be someone just sneezing at that point. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like that right now. In fact, I think the side effects of Omicron is not even a sneeze. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's okay, so there's three main side effects to it. I think the number one is a slight headache, muscle soreness, and tiredness. That's it. So if people say they're symptomatic Omicron, they're suffering from one of those three things.
Mm.
So no shortness of breath. Nothing like that. You're going to be put on a ventilator. You're a little tired. You have muscle soreness. Like you worked out at the gym a little bit too much.
Mm.
Like you worked out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you work out too much, you get a headache. You know, you spend too much time on the treadmill, you know, like that, right? It happens.
Yeah.
And all that, right? So what? You have Omicron. Oh, my God. Let's lock it down. You know, right?
And then even for those who are, like, so for myself, the fact that the test said I was asymptomatic, I mean,
So wait, your test negative, but you said asymptomatic.
I was... Yeah, test negative, but it showed that I was asymptomatic.
That's kind of weird.
It is weird, right?
Yeah, that means like, wait.
Well,
you have no symptoms negative, right?
I was trying to figure that out. How the tests are able to tell if I'm, you know, asymptomatic or not?
Can you tell yourself if you're asymptomatic or not?
I don't know.
I mean, you have no symptoms.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no symptoms, and even if I came into contact with someone who had COVID, how would I even know?
How could they test that? I don't understand that.
Yeah. How could you test that? Which is another question, you know?
Getting comfortable again, my
Oh, yeah, no worries.
Yeah. No, but that's kind of weird. Like, how could they test that? I mean, if you're symptomatic or not, right. they really can't. Mm-hmm. They really can't. One of my friends, actually, he got, remember when they closed down the H3?
Mm-hmm.
And they were having people drive in there for the symptoms and all that?
Yeah.
So one of my, it was actually my dad, I think.
Okay.
So he had signed up my dad, my mom, and myself to go get tested, right? Mm-hmm. Just for the hell of it. And we said, why do we have to go? Why waste our time, mm-hmm. right? You know, we're feeling fine.
Yeah.
So we came back with the test results as negative.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get tested.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's strange.
We didn't even go. Yeah.
Oh, that's really strange.
Yeah.
Huh.
So some of my other friends, like, actually got the same thing like that. So.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird like that. I don't believe our numbers at all.
Yeah. I don't believe our numbers either.
Because they actually include probable.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my friends, they threw a party. Now, there was someone there who actually tested. No, they were in contact with someone who was positive.
Oh, okay.
But they tested negative, but they attended this party.
Mm-hmm.
So the contact tracer came in there and they said, everyone there at this party, 30, 40 people, they're all positive, right? None of them got tested. And they saw the total count go up to like 50 more the next day.
Mm.
And all those people there tested all negative.
Mm.
And the contact tracer said, no, all of you folks are still considered positive, so quarantine for 10 days.
Mm.
And people are like, no, they're not going to go quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
They tested negative.
Mm.
You know, they all went to the thing, and they all got tested. It's all negative.
Mm-hmm.
But they can still consider themselves probable cases right now.
Because mm-hmm. they were around that person.
Around that one person who also tested negative.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know where the numbers are, right? I mean, I wish they would just be honest with us.
Well, one thought I had, which it's funny. I'm going to get slack for some of this, but that's okay. Is I wonder if they use the numbers from the totals before, maybe prior, because maybe someone became positive, right? Maybe a government worker, he became positive, and they add that to the total for the daily total. So maybe there was 60, and those same 60 people get added to the daily total the next day, but all along with another new cases. But because they have to test every single day.
Well, they're doing something kind of very similar to that.
Right.
Like, you know, while I'm not sure if we can prove your theory.
I don't know, because I don't know, too. But
they're doing something very similar to that, mm-hmm. where they'll say they have a backlog of cases, and then they'll add it to a certain count on a certain day.
Oh, okay.
And they'll say that the backlog had like 250 cases added, mm-hmm. were something that happened like months ago.
Mm.
And they add it to like today's. Mm. Like, wait a minute, why don't you just add it to the data pool? Because you have the date when these came in.
Right.
Right? Why are you adding it to like today, and then all of a sudden you have this huge spike, and then people are saying, okay, we're not below 100, that's why we can't drop the mandates and all that kind of thing.
True, and they also put like, oh, these were from a case weeks ago.
Yeah, weeks ago. Like, why are you adding it to today? Add it to like back then, so your data is right.
And why don't they say, did these people recover?
Yep. Yeah.
Because this was done 2 weeks ago, but it's already been 14 days. Have they recovered from this?
Yep.
The totals, but then the narrative is different. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, this is from weeks ago, but they still were positive.
So they have so much data out there that they're not sharing with us. Like, one of the big things that I keep asking them,
mm-hmm.
and the media doesn't ask them any of this, it was that how many of those who were infected were wearing masks?
Mm.
And we here in Hawaii, people are just, you know, they love wearing masks everywhere around.
Yeah.
And the majority of them who wear masks were infected. That's a thing.
Mm.
I mean, if 90, like, I think they had a stat. They said 98% of people actually wear masks regularly, right?
Mm, mm-hmm.
So if that's true, why is the infection still spreading?
Mm.
Because they know for a fact that if they actually put that information out there, then, you know, people would say, hey, wait a minute, these masks actually don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no study out there that actually says they do work.
Mm-hmm.
Only controlled studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only controlled studies.
All,
you know, Keone and myself, we don't wear masks. We're like a bunch of buttheads about it.
I did see, there was one picture I see Keone where he went to, trying to think, military.
NEX. Yeah.
And he went in without a mask. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, we went into Pearl Ridge without a mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're walking around without a mask.
There was something the other day, even at Ala Moana. Actually, Ala Moana, well, it's an open mall.
Yeah, open mall, but Pearl Ridge is not. I walk around Woodward Mall without a mask. the security guard told me, hey, put your mask on. I just walk right past me. Now, when I go into the theaters, I have to wear a mask and all that. But once I'm in the theaters, I don't even wear it. You know, we're only supposed to, you know, wear the mask while watching the movie. I don't wear it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I walk to the bathroom without a mask. I don't care.
Well, it doesn't make sense to wear a mask in the movies anyway.
Yeah.
Because, when you get, like, tickets online or something with the recliner seats, they already space it out maybe 2 seats away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it's not like you're constantly going up to someone and saying, hey, what's up? You know, you're not going to go up to a stranger and you're just continue coughing on them or anything. Even if it's circulated air, it's still... that doesn't make sense to me, honestly. Right. Kelsey.
What up?
Do you like beef?
Yeah.
Do you like Japanese Wagyu beef?
Duh!
Guys, if you said yes to both of these questions, let me tell you something. You guys need to hit up Easy Wagyu 808, right? This is no joke. Kelsey, tell us more about them.
Yeah, so Easy Wagyu 808 sell these amazing Japanese Wagyu steaks,
mm-hmm.
Even Australian Wagyu,
really?
Caviar,
oh my
even
gosh.
Uni.
Oh my god!
And they're at very affordable prices.
Oh my god.
And even when you purchase one of these Japanese Wagyu steaks, mm-hmm. you get a certificate of authenticity confirming that it is an official Wagyu steak from Japan.
Get out of here. What the heck? Guys, let me tell you something. I have some really good news for you. If you DM EasyWagyu 808 and you use my promo code KSP4, you will get an additional $5 off per pound of all Japanese Wagyu products. That means if he was discounting Japanese Wagyu beef for maybe like $10 off per pound, you use KSP4, you will get an additional $5 off. That means $15 off per pound for these awesome Japanese Wagyu products. Can you believe
that's
that?
That's a steal.
Crazy.
And they're so delicious. Mm. Just, oh, mouth-watering. Mm. You gotta try it at least once.
Mm. Guys, you want to tap into this amazing deal? All you need to do is DM EZWAGYU 808. That's EZWAGYU 808. Use promo code KSP4.
So let's go back to this, like, football thing. I got some questions.
Okay, yeah.
I'm gonna be the interviewer now, right now. Why are you a Pittsburgh Steelers fan?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you know what's funny? I feel like I just talked about this 2 episodes ago. But
yeah,
back in like 2004, I never really watched football. I never really got into it, but I really was interested in like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their defense.
Mm.
Their defense was really. At that time was just top notch. You know, James Ferrier, James Harrison, and Hines Ward. I love watching Hines Ward. You know what
part
I mean?
Korean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was also fans of Drew Brees when he was playing for the Chargers.
Oh wow! Okay.
So from then on, I was like, man, I love teams that just have really good defenses. So like the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then I just really jive with them, and then from then on, I was just a huge fan of theirs. You know what I mean?
So that was Troy Polamalu's time, too.
Troy Polamalu?
Yeah.
I have his jersey, but I just wanted to wear Antonio Brown today because we're talking about Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, okay. And you're a fan of Antonio Brown.
I am still a fan of Antonio Brown. I didn't go and burn his jersey. Maybe some Pittsburgh Steelers fans probably burned his jersey. Yeah. But I'm still a fan of his. You know, I still consider him part of that. That when the Steelers had a top ranking offense, when they had Le'Veon Bell, they had the bees, you know what I mean? The Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they had the three bees. So,
So, what's your opinion now on Ben Roethlisberger?
Okay. So, I think he can still play at a high caliber. I still think he can.
Okay.
But I think there should be a passing of the guard now, especially next season. I think he shouldn't play next season because if he does, I mean, it might be embarrassing, honestly, because I could see the decline. You know what I mean? But we have great receivers. I mean, Juju Smith, I think he's kind of a prima donna a little bit. So I don't really like Juju Smith.
Okay.
I'm going to go on camera and say that. I don't like Juju Smith. Schuster. I like Deontay. I like James Washington. You know, I like their other receivers. Pat, I can't say his last name. Furmuth or whatever. But I like their team. TJ Watt, Beast, you know. We have so many guys on defense too that just these huge guys, you know. Cameron Hayward. I mean, these huge monsters, you know. So I like where the team is at now. We're just missing a few pieces to get kind of back into that.
I think you're missing
level.
A good quarterback. I mean, I think
we're missing a good quarterback. I
think he made all the right reads, but the throws were not there. He didn't have the arm strength.
He doesn't have the arm strength. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's why I say if he played next season, he probably is going to really embarrass himself. You know, I don't trust Mason Rudolph.
Okay.
I don't. Before I did. Before I trusted him, but these past couple years I don't trust him anymore. I want to see maybe Dwayne Haskins go and test it out.
No.
I want to see it.
Really?
I want to see it.
Oh,
I want to see.
Man, I was going to ask you about that.
I want to see Haskins. I want to see.
Oh man.
What he can do.
He can't do much.
I feel like we should draft a new quarterback, but I want to see what Haskins can do before.
Okay.
We do anything.
So we
crazy.
Play free agency right now. There's some quarterbacks out there that are going to be hitting free agency and all that. Who would you actually pick right now?
Oh, well, that's tough. Well,
so this could be Aaron Rodgers, possibly.
So,
Aaron Rodgers, maybe.
So I watch a lot of Pat McAfee, right? And we've already heard hints of Aaron Rodgers going to the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's already hinted at a possible. So, Aaron Rodgers, I would love to have Aaron Rodgers
there.
Okay. You know what I mean? Honestly, I was surprised we didn't pick up like Andy Dalton, because I think Dalton is a really good quarterback too.
He sucks.
Nah, he's good. The Red Rocket.
Oh,
the guy.
Andy Dalton. Oh man.
You know the thing about Andy Dalton. Well, when he was on the Bengals, I think he just. I don't know about him, but the thing with Andy Dalton, he has a strong arm. He does have a strong arm.
He has a strong arm.
I think the accuracy needs to work a little.
His brain.
His brain, yeah.
His brain. He's like handicapped right there.
Yeah. We could have even had like Cam Newton, honestly, at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which.
You don't want Cam Newton, though.
I'd rather take Dalton over Cam Newton, honestly.
I would take Dalton over Cam Newton because Cam Newton is like, his body's like gone right now. Mm. And he's not a thinking quarterback. You know, he relied too much on his natural abilities, right?
Yeah, true.
Right. I mean, you know, but I think Andy Dalton, he's okay. I mean, I think it's on paper he can do it well.
Right.
But he can't execute it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a problem. I mean, I watched him. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Right.
Hardcore.
Yep. Jalen Hurts.
Ugh, horrible. 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 Like, this guy's a single-digit QBR like that.
Hey, what happened to Zach Ertz, man?
Jalen Hurts can't even throw the ball to, like, one of the best. He's tearing it up in Arizona.
He is.
He's tearing it up.
He's tearing it up.
He didn't lose a step. I told everyone, Zach Ertz didn't lose a step.
Yep.
Our quarterbacks lost a step.
Yep.
Carson Wentz, by the way, he sucks. He blows turds. He blows turds, man.
You know what with Carson Wentz? Oh, okay. That's another issue. So he's someone I think is a great quarterback, but he just doesn't have that killer instinct to finish a game at the top.
He panics.
He panics.
He panics.
He does.
Yeah, he panics.
It's kind of like Derek Carr, which Derek Carr, I'm a fan of Derek Carr.
What?
When he came into the league.
We are disagreeing a lot here.
I was a fan of Derek Carr when he came into the league, but he panics too.
He does.
Now it's like
he sucks.
Dang, yeah. Now he sucks.
Yeah, he really sucks. I mean, he's the reason why the Raiders suck. You know. Hey, by the way, about Raiders for a second. Let's talk about John Gruden.
Yeah.
What do you think about John Gruden on how he got fired? I think he was like sold out. I read those emails. They're not racist at all.
They were. Some of those emails were done in the past. You know, like 10 years.
Yeah, they were done before he was with the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't see the full report of what happened with John Gruden, but the fact that he stepped down because of the whole publicity and stuff like that, I don't know if I have to see the full story about what happened. I didn't really see the emails. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see how bad the emails were, but I'd seen that those emails were done maybe years ago.
You got to watch my podcast. Or listen to my podcast. I did a podcast on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole thing and all that, man.
They were doing good, though. Huh? You know, they could have. He was actually building that team.
They were doing good. He has a killer instinct. I mean, I like John Gruden.
Yeah.
I like. He's a very, very smart guy and all that. Mm-hmm. He's very animated. You know, people say things. He said those things in private conversations, right? Mm. And people insult people's looks and everything like that in private conversation. It's fine. Mm. It doesn't mean they're racist. Mm. You know, people can say racist things, like, or even insult a person's looks about certain things and all that. Mm. It doesn't mean they're, like, racist out there. Mm. It doesn't mean you hate black people or hate white people or hate anything and all that. You know, and that's what it was. It was a private conversation out there. Mm. I mean, people are just too oversensitive. And then the whole thing got brought up because the Washington Redskins were getting investigated for, like, some type of, like, sexual harassment. And that whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the whole thing got pushed. Now, you don't even hear about that now. All you hear about John Gruden getting fired over, like, emails that were, you know, disclosed.
Offensive.
Like, that's all they were. They're offensive. But fine. Mm. I can look at anyone's text messages and I'll find offensive comments in there. You know, you look at my email and went, man, you know, I get fired from my own company, you know, like that, right?
Or people sending you emails.
Yeah, people sending me emails, you know? And all, or my own conversations with the people off camera, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, what do you, like, come on, you know?
Yeah, the thing about John Green, I thought it was just really strange because I was like, it's just emails for a private conversation. Like I said, I haven't seen the email, so I don't really know. I'll probably look it up after, but. I mean, now the Raiders are really going downhill. You know what I mean? When they were a team that I thought could really make it big.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just needed some more pieces. They just needed to kind of put things together, maybe get
better quarterback.
A better quarterback. Yeah, Mac Jones, they could have Mac Jones. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
Good decision making.
He's good. Yeah, really good. I thought he was good from the beginning.
Yeah.
You watched college at all?
I did see some. I saw some of him.
Yeah. Well, I thought he should have gone one. Yeah. Like Trevor Lawrence, I thought he always sucked.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I always thought he sucked.
You know, with Trevor Lawrence, okay, I thought he was overrated too, to be honest. But I thought he was pretty good. But I didn't think he deserved the credit that he did.
Yeah, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, was that Trey Lance or something like that? Mm-hmm. I think they all suck.
Trey Lance, I thought, was way overrated. Yeah, he shouldn't have
number
been three.
Two or three?
He was
two?
Three.
Who's two?
Zach Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Another guy who's overrated, Zach Wilson.
No, I thought Zach Wilson was pretty good. I thought he had a good decision-making, but I think, he's on the Jets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. The Jets thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of unfair. Oh, you heard Urban Meyer got fired today.
Urban Meyer got fired today?
Yeah, he got fired today.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's fired. Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, he got fired. There was accusations of him like kicking people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kicking like either a player or a coach, like kicking them.
Oh, wow!
Like, and he, I mean, from the accusations against him, it turned out to be he was like an asshole. I mean, they never were concerned about his ability. They never complained like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's about the way he was treating people.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought he was a cool guy. I mean, I see him on, like, you know, the CBS show before then, right? I'm like, wow, he sounds like a pretty cool guy. I never thought, like, you know, I mean, was he like this in Florida? Was he like this in other areas?
Well, the thing about Urban Meyer, I remember there was a report about him, like, maybe the team was flying back. He took his own jet.
Oh, yeah. And then he went to a bar.
Yeah, he went to the bar.
Stuck the finger up the girl's butt. Yeah, like that, right?
Yeah. Okay, I saw the footage of that.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, this guy. And then, I mean, I feel bad for him. What is about his wife, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that girl, she got fired.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's been, like, getting hounded on, like, that. Oh, that's a good-looking girl, man. You can hire her out, man. She can work for Dream Wedding, so.
But, yeah, wow, I didn't realize Urban Meyer got fired.
He got fired today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's December 16th,
it's
right?
It's even worse.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Jaguars, we'll see where they're going to go. Number one, they get another first-round draft pick.
Well, they had some good players back then. They had Leonard Fournette, you know, they had Allen Robinson, you know what I mean? They had some good guys, you know. They had a really good defense. I don't know what happened to them
after
that.
It's just the coaching. The coaching has been always bad. Yeah, because my guy is Nick Foles. He went there to Jacksonville. I think that I think Nick Foles is the most underrated quarterback. I loved him from the first time he stepped into
really?
The NFL. Oh yeah, I told my friends this guy's going to win us a Super Bowl. Like that. I mean, see, for me, I actually like played football before.
Okay.
So like, you know, so I understand the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And when see, people don't understand when you throw, even if you throw in your backyard, you have to throw with anticipation.
Mm.
And that's the thing. Like a lot of times, these quarterbacks now they don't throw with anticipation,
mm-hmm.
and to throw these bombs that you know are hitting you know from like you know halfway down the field.
Yeah.
Even in the Super Bowl, if you watched, I mean, he's hitting these like you know you have to anticipate where that receiver is going to be.
Yeah, he had guts.
2 to 3 seconds from now.
Yeah.
And you're throwing dimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes so much touch to do that, and he's always been able to do that.
Yeah, Nick Foles during that playoff run. When they went to the Super Bowl when they won,
yeah.
I mean, he had some balls to throw some of those throws because I was like, I don't know if a lot of quarterbacks could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, you never seen him from like before his old footage and all that. He's done that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, and he hits it all the time.
I always thought he was a decent backup. I didn't realize how good he was.
Yeah.
Until the playoff run.
Well, every coach like he's played for, he's actually made them look good. Mm. And after they switched out from him, they're not good anymore.
Mm.
So, like, I mean, think about it. Carson Wentz, same team, can't even, like, go to the playoffs. The next year, you know, Nick Foles is on the bench, right?
Okay.
And then Carson Wentz, he breaks his back.
Yeah.
Then Nick Foles wins the rest of the games, takes him to the playoffs. And he would have actually gone to maybe the divisional game mm-hmm. if Alshon Jeffrey would have not dropped the ball.
Yeah.
They were there, right? I mean, yeah. Did you see that one?
Yeah, like that? I saw that one.
Right,
yeah.
Perfect ball right there, right yeah. there and all that, right? So, and the same thing when he went to Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, the guy's like he's just intellect, you know, mm-hmm. of football. And he doesn't have the athletic ability, like, as far as running goes, but, can he throw a beautiful ball? I mean, he throws one of the most beautiful long balls out mm-hmm. there, if not the best. Look back at some of his games and all, you say, whoa, that guy can throw a long ball.
Yeah, I'll check him out.
Yeah, yeah, like that. And that's why I'm thinking Pittsburgh Steelers.
what do you think about, I'm going to talk about AFC North a little bit. What do you think about Lamar Jackson?
I think he's a really talented athlete. I don't think he's I think he's relying too much on his athletic ability right
okay.
now.
Yeah.
And I think he has to have a coach who will kind of teach him more about the intricacies of how to play quarterback rather than just running and you know one two read and then take off and running. You know, he can't call like in college it's pretty interesting because like they don't call protection. Like they don't call it the mic. They just like, you know, they look on the sidelines, what am I going to do? Clap my hands. That's it.
Mm.
And that's what he was taught. And if you have all this athletic ability, you know, you're thinking, okay, that guy's, you know, the wheel linebacker is going to blitz. I can handle that.
Mm.
But why don't you just call protection? Call your running back on that side, have him block for you.
Yeah.
He true. Doesn't do that. Just call it. You know, like how big, so Big Ben, he can't run away. He's hard to take down,
yeah.
but he's so smart.
Yeah.
So he can still play right now.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady, he's not even close to as athletic as any of these guys.
Right.
But he's so damn smart.
Yeah.
He's calling audibles, calling this, calling the protection.
Mm-hmm.
And he moves just like an inch. Like a very professional boxer who knows how to slip a punch. And like these linebackers are just flying right past him. Defensive ends are just, and he's moving just like a little bit. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. You don't have to run like Lamar Jackson to buy time.
Right.
Yeah. So Lamar Jackson has to, you know, learn those little things. And if he can, he'll be, like, one of the best quarterbacks out there. But, you know, it depends if he can or can't, you know?
True.
Yeah.
How about another one of quarterbacks that I really like, Russell Wilson? What do you think about Russell Wilson?
Oh, boy. Like,
so I was thinking, yeah. If he played for the Steelers, well, I remember reports of him going to the Bears.
He wanted to, I think.
That'd be interesting. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, if he went to the Steelers, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem.
Well, he's not playing good right now.
He's not playing good right now, yeah. but I still think he's a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I never thought he was. He's a really accurate quarterback.
Yeah.
So he can throw the long ball really good. He can throw
And his running ability, too.
Yeah, he's running, and he's clutch. He's clutch.
Yep.
So, yeah, like, he would make a good fit at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
Yeah, he would.
That was someone I was thinking, if not Aaron Rodgers, we need to push for Russell Wilson, and then we're going to be a solid team. You know what I mean?
But if not Russell Wilson, Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
Trust me. Oh, Nick Foles would be great there. You got a line. Foles, Nick Foles, man. You're going to have a Nick Foles jersey on next year. You know, you're going to be like, Steve, I love this guy. I love this guy like that. You know, he's going to be a coach one day. He's going to be a coach.
I can see that. He's I can see him be a coach.
He's going to be a coach like that. Yeah, definitely a coach.
He's very smart.
Yeah, he has a podcast out too.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his podcast called?
I think it's called Mission of Truth. So he talks about the Super Bowl and that day, and he was actually injured that day, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he talks about everything. Yeah, yeah. Really interesting. Like, he gives all the, you know, the backstory about getting drafted, you know, playing for the Eagles and playing for everyone else and everything. Mm. Yeah. He was really good. Yeah, really interesting.
So we'll switch gears. We'll wrap things up a little bit. So we're in January. We're talking about this for January. So what's your goals for, you know, 2022? Because it's a brand new year. A lot of things have been opening up. So, you know, what's some of your goals?
Well, my goals is to so I'm starting a barbecue company.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my goal right there. So to start our barbecue company, mm-hmm. I'm going to be purchasing a truck, a food truck and all that. And we'll build and the smoker. You know, right now I barbecue out of my backyard. Pretty good. You know, you'll find out, you know, you'll find out.
I still need to try this.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. You'll find out. You and your wife are invited to our barbecue parties.
Of course.
Yeah. Our little peaceful protest parties, call them, like that, which we were throwing. Oh, I better not say that. it'll be on camera there. We were having peaceful protests throughout the entire COVID. Why don't we just say that, right? Peacefully, you know, exercising our First Amendment rights to barbecue. Mm-hmm. So, hopefully that turns out really, really well. Mm. Yeah, that's my goal right there. At least one of them.
So when do you plan on getting it up and running?
Well, the smoker, I think I'll purchase probably in February or so like that. The professional smoker, it's huge.
Okay.
It's made out of a huge propane tank, a 500-gallon propane tank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's as big as a truck.
Oh, yeah,
it's huge and all that. Like, smoke like 20 briskets in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. 20 briskets.
Well, I think it's huge. Wow.
Yeah, it could smoke you in there. And you would still have leg room. Yeah. Yeah. Two humans.
Yeah.
Two humans. Yeah. I can cremate someone.
That's too my gosh.
Yeah. It's pretty big.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're gonna smoke that. Smoke those briskets, and we'll see what happens. So if we can do a good job on it, then, you know, hopefully we'll make some money off of that. Yeah. And I'm hoping to transition from the weddings into that. Mm. But right now I'm talking to my business partner, and he's saying, maybe we should hold on to the wedding company because we could do catering for the weddings out there. So and my wedding couples are small. They're like, you know, destination brides. Mm-hmm. It's about 20, 30 people. That falls within our, you know, our, you know, we can do.
Yeah. For the catering.
Yeah,
wow.
For the catering.
That's
a
full service wedding.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Shoot.
So it's really full service. Yeah. If you want barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if they're coming from the mainland, come on.
Yeah.
You got to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've already catered a few of the weddings already like that, so we've been pretty good at it.
We don't have a lot of barbecue places here anyway.
Oh, it sucks. I mean? Oh, my God. Oh, God. People don't come here for barbecue.
I have a hard time recommending barbecue places here because I'm like, I don't really know good barbecue places here.
They think Korean barbecue. Every time you see barbecue, it's like kalbi and barbecue chicken.
That's not barbecue.
Yeah, it's not pulled pork, you know, brisket, you know. You know,
yeah, there's nice no ribs there.
No
you know
ribs
I mean?
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, there's Calvi ribs, but that's not the same.
No,
thing.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I must say it was a pleasure having you on the show. I can't thank you enough for being here and just, you know, just having fun with us, you know.
Yeah.
Talking about all kinds of stuff, COVID related, non-COVID related. NFL related.
NFL.
Antonio Brown related.
You should have brought my jersey, my Nick Foles jersey.
Nick Foles?
Mine has a Super Bowl thing on it.
Not your Carson Wentz jersey?
I never bought one. Guys, I call him the choker.
How about McNabb? You don't have a McNabb jersey?
I have a McNabb jersey.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. But he chokes too.
He does choke. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love Donovan McNabb, man. And Michael Vick. I love Michael Vick too.
Oh, I love Michael Vick, yeah. Yeah.
Steve, thank you for joining us. And as we always do, we like to kanpai at the end. I've seen you drank a lot of your water. I've actually emptied out my cup.
Yeah.
Which is weird because this fruit punch, it did taste like fruit punch. It wasn't as sweet as I thought, which is fine. I don't really care. It's just a beer, so. But yeah, that's fine. Steve, this is to you. This is for your barbecue business coming out in 2022, hopefully. And, you know, as a storyteller, your continued success, your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Kanpai.
Kanpai.